This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Gernot Hein from Kurt Hein. How are you, Gernot?
Hi, Chris.
We've got Peter Linnert from Linnert Vet.
Hi, Chris.
And I've also got Ansgar Schmitz from the Mosel Wine Production.
How are you, Chris? Fine.
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. We're in the Golden Tropschen still, and we're going to be talking a wee bit about the wines from here. We've just had a bit of a tasting. I've tasted a reasonable number of the wines. And one of the things I've noticed is normally with German wines and German Rieslings, I normally expect the wines to be mainly sort of green apples, maybe lemons, limes if I'm lucky, but really quite austere. And one of the things about your wines is the ripeness of the flavors, really mangoes, pineapples, sort of thing. Is that typical or is it just the vintages we've been having?
Yeah, it's typical for Peaceport because Peaceport has a special climate for the Mosel. The vineyard side is open to south and we have a deep soil, enough water. That means in warm and dry years we have enough water for the grape, for the wines.
Yep.
And they can produce sugar and minerals.
Yeah.
The whole summer.
But they're awfully ripe. They smell awfully ripe. Obviously, how sweet they are is dependent on the winemaking.
Very rich wines. It's typical for Peaceporters.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Is it all the way up and down the Mosel, is that common, or is it more Peaceport?
I think it's Peaceport. It's typical for Peaceport when you have very exotic fruit and rich wines and... Often they have a lot of minerals and they need time. They're not too early ripe. Mm-hmm. They need a few months to get develop to a nice taste, and that's why they have a lot of things in it.
Sure, I've noticed aniseed in the wines as well. Is that common?
Some type of this aromas sometimes, but it's not very common. Usually you have the fruit aromas, sometimes you have some herb aromas, that's spicy aromas you find from time to time, but it depends on vintages as well. So you might have big differences between vintages, between vineyard sites as well, depending on soil and microclimate, on the work of the wine growers naturally as well.
There seems to be... The Golden Tropschen is quite a small area. I think it's,
160 acres today.
Okay, so it's quite small, but there's a huge range of wines coming out of there. You've got dry through to sweet. What sort of styles of wines can you make in the Golden Tropschen?
Yeah, there are a lot of styles we can make. It's a difference to other wine areas. I think we have a selective harvest. We harvest early and later, sometimes very late, and so we get different kind of grapes, and some are good for the cabinet, some are riper and Spätlese, and the others are the Auslese, and for Auslese we do a selection, and then there are some wines that are a little bit sweeter, and the other one are very sweet, and we have also some dry and fine herb wine, because we have customers which want these wines, not only the sweet wines, also the drier wines.
So to me, trying to get my head around it, you've got a set of rules that sort of govern the almost like the must weight or the sugar at picking, isn't it? So that's your cabinets, your Spätlesers, your Auslesers, your Trockenbaren Auslesers. And then depending on what the winemaker does in terms of how much they ferment the wine and to dryness and how much sugar they leave in it, then you've got another set of things. Is that right?
That's right.
And what are the sweetness or dryness levels that you can choose in a wine?
According to the German wine law, we have wines with up to 9 grams of residual sugar, which are called trocken, that means dry. And then above that, we have the level up to 18 grams residual sugar, per liter. That's the what we call halbtrocken, or today it's called fine herb. It means medium dry or off dry. And above that, it's the sweet level. First, we call it lieblich, which means mellow. And above 50 grams of sugar, about 50 grams of sugar, we usually call it sweet. And that goes up to more than, in some years, more than 200 grams of sugar per liter. But that's, these are very rare and special wines, which the Trockenbeeren Auslese, for example, or Beeren Auslese. So you pick or select the noble grains out of the grapes, and only use them for the must. And the amount you get is very, very low. And these wines are very sweet, and but they can keep for decades, even for 50 or 100 years, depending on storing conditions.
I tasted some wines with Kernot last night. And we tried your, was it a Spätlese or an Auslese?
Spätlese from 94.
And it was quite, technically it was supposed to be quite sweet, but it was actually really dry.
Yes.
It seemed to be almost as the wine aged, it lost sugar. Is that true, or was I just tasting things that seemed wrong?
No, the sugar is, analytic is the same than 14 years ago, but develops to, it's more in the background now, the sugar. And you tasted not so sweet than 40 years ago. And it's nearly dry, you say.
Yeah, well, it tasted dry, but you're saying there's still loads of sugar in the wine. You just don't notice the sugar.
Yes.
That just seems counterintuitive to me.
Yeah.
The only way I can think of it is maybe a bit like maybe tannins.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday.
Yeah.
I think it's a reason. It's true with the tannin. It's similar to the wine with tannin when it's age, it gets milder.
Is that why, if you get a really, really sweet dessert wine, in 50 years' time, it's nowhere near as sweet? Is that always the truth, or is
no,
that just...
The really sweet wines, like Beeren Auslese and Trockenbeeren Auslese, I think they keep, and you can taste it because it's too much. It's 200 rest sugar, it's very, it's a lot, and you can taste it in 20 years and 30 years, and therefore they are good wines to drink in and to keep and to drink in 30 years.
One of the key things for Goldentropfen is the, people talk about it as the slate, that the soils, the slate and the soils. And that seems to give that minerality to the wine. Is it just slate that gives that sort of real, it's an edgy sort of minerality, you know, it sort of, to me it seems to sit on top of the acidity and just sort of really make the acidity quite edgy. Is that what you guys experience?
Steely.
Steely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah, yeah.
Steely.
Yeah, it's a slate soil with a, you saw in the morning the quartzite. I show you the quartz.
Mm.
And we have a blue and red slate soil. Yeah, they when they are young, the 2007, a lot of wines we had steely taste, minerally, flintstone.
Yeah. I found the drier styles of wines that we tasted, that minerality was almost too much. I found it, you know, quite hard to enjoy. But once you got into the richer styles, even if they were drier, you know, Spätlesers, even if they were sort of a Halbtrocken or a Trocken, they seemed to be able to take that minerality a bit better in it.
Depends on the occasion you drink this wine.
With and food the, as well?
When you have fish.
Yeah.
I think the cabinet is lighter and the minerality is nice with fish and acidity.
What sort of food do these wines, you know, if we look at, say, a cabinet with lots of minerality versus, say, a Spätlese with a bit more sweetness, and then all the way through to a Trockenbeeren Auslese, what's, if I was to food match, what sort of food would I match with, say, a cabinet?
Yeah, cabinet dry, it's a fish, mm-hmm. and no, asparagus.
Yep.
And the fine herb wines, Asian cuisine.
That seems to be quite popular in the UK, Asian cuisine still.
Yeah.
Alsace did a big marketing push in the UK, you know, think Asian, drink Alsace. Mm-hmm. We haven't really heard anything about, you know, German Rieslings with Asian food so much from a marketing point of view.
Mm.
But it is a wine that could go quite well with Asian foods.
My experience is that the slightly sweeter styles of our Rieslings, especially Riesling Cabinet, fine herb or slightly sweet, are matching Asian food very well. I often compare it at home and trying drier styles and sweeter styles, and the drier styles are always the loser because they don't have enough ripeness and fruit to accompany the often spicy or hot aromas, and this, sometimes the sweetness of peanut butter sauce, for example, or peanut sauce, or with other sweeter components of the food. So I usually tend to take a Cabinet Fine Herb or a Cabinet Sweet Riesling with my Asian cuisine. I think Riesling shouldn't be too dry to go along with Asian food. I think that's a bit dangerous. In my opinion, in general, even the little bit sweeter styles, if they are ripe and if they are a few years old, they can match a big range of food, from game to chicken and fish, seafood, everything. So you find in our diversity of wine styles we have, you find nearly for every food you find a matching wine. You can match Trockenbeeren Auslese with blue cheese, for example. You can match an old, ripened sweet wine, an Auslese, like, let's say, 5-6 years old. You can match it very easily with foie gras, for example. With a lot of cheese, sweeter white wines, in my opinion, are matching far better than red wine, for example, because the red wines tend to become astringent with the sweet, with the cheese.
I interviewed a guy a while ago from Wines for Spice, and he makes wines to go with Asian cuisine. And he seemed to think a bit of a residual sugar, just a bit of sweetness in there, takes the heat out of chili foods and all that sort of stuff. So that's quite nice. Just moving on a wee bit to where these wines are sold, what's your biggest market?
Our biggest market is Germany, and then the next biggest market, or the biggest export market we have, is the United States. After that, where there's Netherlands and Great Britain, Norway, Japan, Belgium, Canada. So most of the wines are sold to everywhere in the world, even to Brazil or China. Eastern Europe is coming quite good along, Russia, for example. But Germany is still the biggest market.
Are you worried about the fall of the US dollar? Because euro is getting very strong against the US dollar, so your wines must be getting more expensive to US consumers. Do you want to comment on that, Gernot?
Yes, it's a problem for us here, because you tell that with the dollar, the wines are too expensive at the moment in the United States, and therefore the good development of the last years is now a little bit, it's not so good at the moment.
It's been eroded away. Market share that you've taken. Okay. What about the UK market? I go to my supplier. I went to a range of suppliers to get some German wines. I thought, right, let's give German wines a whirl. And I went to my suppliers and got some samples. And the wines were good. You know, they were fine, nice wines. But they were all on the sweeter side. And to be honest, when I showed them to the UK consumer, a lot of them didn't like them that much. They just found them not to their liking. But I've been here and I've tasted some lovely wines. How come I don't see them in the drier styles of German wines in the UK?
Yeah, I have an English importer, and I asked him 5 years ago. He has always a sweet Cabernet and sweet Spätlese, and sometimes Auslese or a few bottles of Bärenauslese. And I've been there, and I asked if he want to have some drier style from the Riesling. And he said, no, it's for me, it's too much education for my customers. They don't understand the German wine when there's a dry Riesling. And he don't want to have that. It's too much work for him.
Yes, that's the weirdest thing, because we taste a lot of New Zealand and Australia, well, particularly New Zealand, being a Kiwi, a lot of dry Rieslings from New Zealand, and the consumer likes them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that they don't like them. Do you think it's a case that the people who maybe buy German wines in England are more traditional and they know what they want, whereas...
Maybe I think our language is a bit of a problem. Complicated vineyard names like, for example, Goldtröpfchen are hard to pronounce, or to read for people who speak English, and labels from Australia or from New Zealand, which are in English, are far easier to understand. So probably UK customers feel more at home with these wines, a nearer connection to them than to German wines. And I think we still suffer from the sweet and cheap image in the UK. And my experience with British friends of mine is that they usually tell us when we bring a good, nice, dry wine along when we visit them, they say, oh, you keep that nice stuff all for yourself. You can't find it here. And it's certainly true that the Germans are favoring drier and styles of Riesling too. And so our producers sell these wines at first here in Germany. And in export, traditionally, sweeter wines are exported.
But it's not that you don't want to export the wines, it's just they don't want to take them.
But I think one reason is that the importer can buy a lot of dry wine in the whole world, from Australia, from South Africa, from Italy, from France, Armenia, now white wine. But the sweet wine, mostly he can get in Germany, and the best sweet wine, is from the Mosel. And therefore, he decides to take the sweet portfolio from the Mosel or from Germany.
Yeah, see, I know you can.
And there's no place for a dry.
Yeah, but even things like your Golden Troption wines, with those really ripe flavors of pineapple and mangoes, etc., you don't get them from the New World. You get more limey sort of flavors coming through. And there's nothing wrong with them, they're quite nice. But I think the more riper, richer style, still with that nice sort of mineral acidity, it's a fantastic wine. I'm surprised that they don't break your arm to get at them.
Maybe one reason is that on the one hand, it's our percentage of drier wines here we produce is only about 30% of the whole production, and 70% is sweet. And because the German market is demanding so much of the drier wines, there's not so much left to export. Then there's the old idea of German wines are sweet all over the world. So that's maybe both things are coming together. And we will have to work on our image as a region which can produce very nice dry wines as well. That's even in Germany, many people don't know that. So how can I expect from somebody in UK or US or Norway or wherever that we produce drier styles of wine as well? I think there are many reasons coming together. And I think our producers would be glad to export more drier style wines to the UK, to the US, and probably in time that will change.
I hope it does, because I quite like them. And the pricing seems quite good. I know we're talking euros here, but what would a Spätlese, a Trocken or a Halbtrocken Spätlese cost if I was to buy it in Germany?
Oh, I think the Spätlese from 7, 8 euro to 12, 15 euro.
Yeah, seven to 15 euros, depending on where they're from and all that. You see, that's quite good pricing, I think.
Yeah.
I find it quite funny that you're not selling it left, right and centre into the UK. All the wines I've been tasting, I don't have a sweet tooth, so I'm not really into sweet wines in a big way. So I've really been focusing on the drier styles of wine, and I really like them. I find it a bit disappointing that when I went looking for German wines, I couldn't get these style of wines. Where to for you guys in the future?
I think the becoming winemakers, they will make a modern style of Riesling wines like you tasted some today.
Yeah, I think the potential of the Mosel in general is that our young winemakers, where we are lucky to have a lot of young women and young men who decide to become a winemaker, who take over the businesses of their parents, they have clear focus what they want. They want high quality from steep slopes. They want the unique character of the Riesling of the Mosel. They want to show that they can make wines you can make nowhere else in the world. And many of them are more into the drier style wines because a lot of them traveled around the world, worked in New Zealand or Austria or Australia, South Africa or California or France or wherever, or other German regions, and they know these styles from there. They know their vineyards and they know the potential and they know that they can make great wines here. Low yields, high quality, that's their what they believe in. And I think we will have a lot to come in future in terms of quality. And so I'm looking positively into the future for the Mosel.
I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.